Regarding the letter Maimer by the Rebbe, this discourse touches upon quite a few ideas, details, that are basically related to the way we learn Torah and the way we fulfill mitzvahs, commandments. The main ideas of the Rebbe are about the commandments of the Jewish people, 613 commandments, etc. In this discourse, he does not talk about the seven commandments for Bnei Noach, but it can be like applied. The ideas can also be applied, even though the Rebbe is not talking about that. I want to make it clear. I don't think he had in his mind, of course, I'm nobody to put myself in the Rebbe's mind, but I don't think he had in mind Bnei Noach when he was actually pronouncing this discourse. I don't think so. However, there are many ideas in this discourse that definitely apply to have a clear understanding of God, the unity of God, etc. And this discourse could be, at least in some points, a good continuation of the previous one that we were talking about, the unity of God, the oneness of God, the Aleph, the Ches, etc. So the Rebbe is going to touch upon these ideas a little bit more and like develop it further. So let's start. This discourse is based on a verse, on a pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, that God tells Yaakov, "Uforatz tayam avakedno vetzafoin avanegva," you will expand yourself. Actually, Rashi says, "Foratz" means to be strong. You will be strong. That's like the Rashi's translation. But "uforatz" usually used to be expand, to expand yourself. Yam avakedma, to the west, to the east. To the north, to the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed on you, like they will bless with you and also your descendants. Second line, that means this idea that everybody is going to be blessing using your name, like you should be blessed, like the Yaakov was blessed, etc. This is done by Yaakov doing something. What does he have to do? He has to expand himself to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. So even before continuing the Maimar, the Rebbe is saying something powerful in the sense of not reading the verse in the regular pshat, simple meaning. The simple meaning is God is giving Yaakov a blessing. So just take the blessing and say amen, and that's it. This is going to happen, you know, because if God blesses you, certainly whatever he said is going to happen. That's nice. Point. We could finish here. However, the Rebbe is taking, according to the Hasidic movement, whatever, Hasidic ideas, he's taking this verse saying, no, we're not just talking about a blessing over here. We're talking about certainly a blessing, because it says, v'nibrechu becha, bracha, it's going to be a blessing. Yes, right. However, the verse is talking about an avoida. There's a work, there's something you have to do, in this case, Yaakov, he has to do something in order to get what? V'nivrechu becha, everybody's going to bless, etc. And what's the avoida? What's the work that he has to do? Uforatz tayam avakedno v'tzafon avanegva. You have to expand yourself to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. Let's continue in the middle of the third line. She'inyon nahu, שגם ביום אבקנו וצפון אבנגבה, שהוא עניין של הגבלה, היא ופרצת. What is this avoida? What is this work that Yaakov has to do? We don't know in detail yet. The Maimer, the discourse, talks about this, of course. But at least just using the words of the verse, let's try to understand what the avoida, what the work is. So the Rebbe says, the idea of this work is that even in the west, in the east, in the north, in the south, which means clearly hagbala, limitations. Like north is not south. South is not north. Like each thing in its place, in its time, very limited ideas, concrete, specific ideas. In that limit, hiu faratzta. There should be something that means expansion. What does it mean expansion? Shehuinyan shel bligvul. This means no limits. In other words, I know this sounds strange, you have to have patience to read the whole Maimer. But what the Rebbe is saying is, look, within Gvul, limitations, there should be a revelation of Bligvul, no limits. It's impossible. Okay, so let's learn. Hainu, that means Sheyam Shachas Bli Gvul Bli Gvul. Now the Rebbe says it clearly. In his words, so to speak, there should be a projection of no limits into limits. That's what he has to do, whatever that means. Go do this, and you will see you're going to be blessed, etc., etc. This is also the reading of the Shema every single day. This prayer, this verses, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. Every single day. Sheba oimrim, what do you say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Verse in Parshas Vayitzchanan. Jews should hear that God, our Lord, God is one. This is like the simple, very, very simple translation of the verse. This also represents exactly the same, this is what the Rebbe is saying, exactly the same, the projection of no limits into limits. Okay. How do you see that? The Hine, now. It's known, a famous question, why does it say that Jews should know, or whatever, feel, whatever the case is, understand, that God is one and not unique? Why does it say Echod, which means one, and not Yochid, which means unique? Even though the adjective Yochid, unique, means that there's nothing else, like, there's no second, impossible. This is unique. Nothing compares to this. And that's much higher than the adjective one, because one gives room to two, three, four, whatever. However, we still say that God is one, not unique, I'm sorry, one. כי הכוונה בזה היא שגם החז והדלת שם שיבה רכים וארץ ודלת רוח וסוע אילם יהיו בטלים לאחד אין סויף, אלופה של אילם. Because the idea behind this, behind saying one and not unique, is that even the letter ches, which means the number eight, והדלת, with the letter דלת, which means the number four, which represent the seven heavens and the earth, and represent, that's the eight, and represent the four directions of the world, which is the number four, they should be nullified to the letter Aleph, which represents one. What does that mean, this one? Ein Sof, the infinite, that means God, basically. Alufa Shel Olam, the master of the world. So the whole world should be nullified to God. If you would have said Yochid, just unique, it doesn't give room even to the world. Like, the world doesn't exist. But wait a second, I'm here, I exist. No, but you don't exist. It doesn't make sense. But the verse says, Echot, God is one. Even you, that you feel that you do exist, and the world, that you open your eyes and you see that it does exist, that should reflect the unicity, the uniqueness, whatever you want to call it, of God. That's why we say Echot. It's a much deeper explanation, so to speak, of just saying God is one and not two and not three, etc. ובאופן, and this should be done in such a way, שיהיו מסחברים ומסייחד ממוי. That the whole world, the seven heavens, the earth, and the four directions, etc., should be united. מסחברים, חיבור means put two things together, but still, you have two things, חיבור. One thing is tied, so to speak, united to the other, but there are two things united. And מסייחדים, and they should become one thing, יוחד, one. Not that you have two things that come together, rather they're one, together with God. To the point that it becomes just one word, the word one. So deep is the connection, so to speak, of the world, etc., to God, that it becomes just one thing, echot. The nimtza comes out. She'inyan the kriyas shema ulehamshicha bli gvul ein soif bli gvul. You see exactly what we said before about Ufaratzta, to expand. The idea of Kriyat Shema, of the reading of the Shema, is to project the infinite, that means Ein Sof, God, He's infinite, within Gvul, within the finite world, which is, between parentheses, the seven heavens and the earth and the four directions of the world, which is actually limitation. Seven heavens, one earth, etc. So we see exactly two to ideas, to verses that express exactly the same idea, to places, so to speak, that express the same idea. Ufaratzta and Shema, they're the same. Shezeu gam kimin ufaratzta yama v'kedem v'goyim, but this is exactly the same thing as ufaratzta, you will expand, etc. Ach tzarich le'ovin, however, we have to understand. Ma shayach inyan ufaratzta le'ma shekosu v'nivrechu v'goyim. Now let's go back basically to the beginning. Now we have to understand what's the relationship between doing this avoida, this work of ufaratzta, you will expand. Why is it connected to v'nivrechu? And everybody's going to have a blessing and bless on you, etc., etc. Why this work of uniting infinite and finite world brings bracha, brings blessing? And furthermore, what's the connection of blessings and the reading of the Shema, which is the same thing of the Faratzta? So the question is basically not a textual question, like we have a problem, it says, let's do man, that's a problem, okay, we have answers. Here the problem is different. Let's try to understand why working on something, what's this something, projecting the infinite within the finite world, that brings blessing. Why? What's the connection? That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, base. Ve'ainyanu, the idea is like this. The hine, now. Kriyat Shema uklalu sinyan ha-Torah mitzvah. The idea of reading the Shema, it's basically the same as, in general, Torah and mitzvah, learning Torah and fulfilling the commandment. Kevish is bar lekaman. As we will understand or explain later. The truth is, if you look later, there's a parenthesis over here in the first line, and I don't see the parenthesis finishing. So I suppose, this is just my supposition, that it finishes after lekaman. Before the comma should be a parenthesis. These copies of these discourses, actually most of them, I would say 90% of them, are copies that were not checked by the Rebbe. These are copies that some copyist heard the discourse of the Rebbe, and afterwards, after Shabbos, or after Yom Tov, whatever, he copied. Sometimes, actually most of the times, there was a group of people, not just one person, a group of people copying. They agreed, this is the discourse that the Rebbe said. Okay, let's move on, let's just print it and move on. And from time to time, the Rebbe chose one discourse. He checked it, added, took out, whatever, put notes, and they printed it. This is the discourse of the Rebbe. But this could happen like many years after, many years, like 20 years after. The Rebbe says, let's take the discourse I said 20 years ago on this parsha and let's print it. Why? I don't know. The Rebbe knows why. But again, I suppose that there's just a missing parenthesis over here. Let's move on. So Kriyat Shema is Torah mitzvahs. It's the same thing. Learn Torah and fulfill it. Velochen, he's going to explain. Velochen, therefore, merum as v'kriyat Shema inyan ha-Torah v'inyan ha-mitzvahs. It's alluded in the reading of the Shema, these verses, whatever, the whole thing of Torah, of learning, and the whole thing of mitzvahs, commandments. Ela, but, yesh chiluk, ben parsha reshon and parsha shniyah. There's a difference between the first paragraph of the Shema and the second paragraph of the Shema. There's a difference over there. Actually, the first paragraph is in Parshas Vayetzkanan. The second paragraph is in Parshas Eikev. Like two different sections in the Torah, nothing, basically speaking, nothing to do one with the other. Just our sages say, you first read this, and then you read this. Okay, there's a difference over here. Shebe Parsha Rishoy Nezik Kriyat Shema Ksiv Veshinantam Vegoy Meruk Shartam. In the first paragraph, Parshas Vayetzkanan, it says, first of all, you will teach your children, your students, whatever the explanation is, doesn't matter. Ukshartam, and you will tie these words in your heart, in front of your heart, in your head, tefillin, that's what it means. I think in English it's called phylacteries, whatever that means, I don't know. Whatever, tefillin. So it says clearly, veshinantam first. First you have to teach. And then you have to do, tie them. Okay, hainu, that means shemakdim Torah lemitzvahs. You see clearly, first comes learning Torah, and then comes mitzvahs, fulfilling the commandments. Shetchila nemar veshinantam, dekoya limud haTorah. First of all, it says veshinantam, the word you will teach. to your students, to your children, whatever. And that means learning Torah. And then it says you will tie them. Kshartem, actually. Kshartem. The Kayal Kiyuma Mitzvahs. This refers to the fulfillment of the commandments. Not just one commandment, Tfilin, rather all of them. Why? Kemay Marazal, like our sages say in the Talmud, Hukshatala Kolatera Kulalit Tfilin. The whole Torah is compared to this commandment of Tfilin. Whatever the reason is, doesn't matter. The point is, you see, alluded within these commandments, the whole command, all the commandments, 613 commandments. Okay, first Torah, then commandments. That's the first Parsha of Shema. Uveparsha Shniyah Kriyat Shema, Uvesedra Hapuch. But in the second paragraph of the Shema, it's turned over the opposite order. First you will tie the mitzvahs, whatever, the commandments, and then you will learn. You will teach your children. First of all, it says you will tie these words, the kai, next page, al maisa mitzvahs, kanal, that this refers to all the commandments, as we said. And then it says you will teach the Kayal Limud HaTorah. This refers to learning Torah. So wait a second, what's going on over here? First parsha, first paragraph. First of all, you have to learn, then you have to keep, fulfill. Second paragraph, first of all, you have to keep, and then you learn. What's the idea behind this? And the idea is like this. Hine yesh beis deyes bedrashas razal. In Talmud, there are two opinions within our sages. In the Talmud, it's a famous thing. Whether, what's bigger, learning or fulfilling? What's more important, so to speak? Two opinions. And the rule is, this is also a Talmudic rule, that both are the words of the living God. Both are right. Not the one is right and the other one is wrong. Shnei emes, says the Rebbe. Both opinions are true. There's a virtue, there's something important in learning, and there's something important in mitzvahs, in fulfilling commandments. And since, as we said before, that the Shema is in general the whole thing of learning Torah, and in general the whole thing of fulfilling mitzvahs, and he brought the proofs, because the Shema talks about these two things. Therefore, is alluded in the Shema, in this prayer, so to speak, both the virtue of Torah and the virtue of mitzvah. Because both ideas are right. That's why in one, we didn't finish the explanation, of course, but this is what the focus that the Rebbe is doing, the direction it's going. That's why we find in the first paragraph, first of all, Torah, then mitzvahs. But in the second paragraph, first of all, mitzvahs and then Torah, because both are right. And there's an advantage in each one of them. Al yedei aktima bakosuv, through the fact that the Torah precedes something, in one case it's going to be Torah, in the other case it's going to be mitzvahs, shemoyri al kedima samayla, this shows you, not just that the Torah chose to say it before, okay, first I said one, and then I said two, whatever. No. Because the Torah said it first, that means it's more important. That's why it says first. Shekosuvechot makdim Torah lemitzvahs. There's one verse that precedes Torah learning to fulfillment, mitzvahs. Shekosuvechot makdim mitzvahs leTorah. And the second verse first talks about commandments, doing, and then about learning. Because both of them have a virtue. Both of them have a virtue. Advantage. Omnam. Okay, so we got it. Adain tzarich leovin. We first still have to understand something. The conclusion of the Talmudic discussion is that it's more important to learn. That's the conclusion. Talmud Gadol. What's bigger? What's higher? Talmud. Learning. And the Rebbe says, chule, you see these words, chule means etc., which alludes to the Talmud, to go complete the text in the Talmud. I don't have to tell you the Talmud, you know, go learn, or you should know it. But it's interesting, I think, this is just my thing, I didn't see this written, I think The whole phrase of the Talmud is very interesting. It says, Talmud gado shemeveli demaise. It's like a, I'll translate it in a second. It's like you're bringing a conclusion that, to be honest, it's not a conclusion. It's nothing. You didn't give me a conclusion. What does the phrase say? The Talmud, the study, the learning is important because it brings action. Of course, if you don't know anything, you can't do. Like, I can't tell you, go learn, I don't know, read me this text in Chinese. I don't know Chinese, read it. I'm sorry, I can't. It's impossible. So first learn Chinese and then you're going to read. That's fine, you can do that. But so, again, God and Talmud, what's the greatness of learning? It leads you to action. So what's more important, action or learning? So that the conclusion is not a conclusion. Learning is important because you have to act. Also, action is important, no, but learning comes first. So at the end of the day, there's no conclusion over here. I think that the Rebbe is alluding to that by saying chule, etc. But bottom line, like very simple, without getting complicated in your mind, very simple, the Talmud itself says, Talmud Gadol. The learning is bigger. Okay, this is what it says. Learning is bigger. Vim ken, if so, eich nemra parsha shniya shelo lefi achraz chazal. How the second paragraph of the Shema goes against the decision of our sages. The second paragraph of the Shema says, first you have to do and then you have to learn. Wait a second, that's wrong. Apparently wrong. We just learned the whole paragraph saying that both are right, both are the words of the living God, and everything is nice, and each one has a virtue and advantage. Yeah, but there's a halacha, there's a law. You can't go against the law. I'm sorry, you can say whatever you want, but if you go against the law, that's it, you're out. So over here we have a whole parsha, a whole paragraph, the second paragraph of the reading of the Shema that goes against the law. Because we decided that for whatever reason, doesn't matter, but the law is Talmud Gadol. The learning is more important. Gimel, third chapter. Yuvan, now we're going to understand this. Behagdim tchila klolus inyan akriyas Shema. First, we have to understand the general idea of Shema, of the Kriyas Shema. Because after all of this is based on what's the Shema. What's all this thing about? What's this prayer about, or whatever this verse is about? So he's going to explain this greatly, so to speak, in the long explanation. We could say it's a long explanation, because that explanation is going to help us understand what's Ufaratzta also, like the beginning of the discourse, etc. And also, as it puts in parentheses over here, Shuklal Zotire Mitzvah Kanan, that this reading of the Shema, it includes, in general, the whole learning and the whole fulfilling. Sheikar Ahua Pasuk Shema Yisrael. What's the main thing of this prayer? The first verse, Shema Yisrael. And then you have a second verse, which the truth is that it's not a verse anywhere in Tanakh. It's not found anywhere. Our sages bring this in the Midrash. There are different explanations of where this comes from the angels. Yaakov said it, or whatever. Whatever the case is, the second phrase, not to say verse, because it's not written, the second phrase of the Shema is Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Elam Poed. The translation, like simple, very simple translation of the first verse is, Hear Israel, God, our Lord, God is one. Okay, that's one verse. And the second verse is, Blessed is the glory, the name of the glory of his kingship forever, ever. Simple explanation. Regular, basic explanation, translation. Those are the two main things of the Shema. Okay, my Marzal, and just our sages explained in the Talmud, Kadam lich telemailu lemato le'al baruchas ha-shomayim sulit zrichas. Once you made king, amlichti comes from the word melech, once you made king, God, of course, above and below, and the four directions of the world, of the heavens, whatever, you don't need any more. Tu means more in Aramaic. Tu leitrichos. You don't need any more. That's it. Enough. God is king up, is king down. That's it. It's fine. Garei, now. Inyan amlich teyu be'amidas shema uvoruk shem kivod malchus el elam poet. How do you make God king over the seven heavens and the earth and the four directions of the world? How do you do that? You have to say, pronounce Shema Israel and then Baruch Shem, etc., etc. You have to say these two verses because that's the main thing of the Shema. Okay, so now we have to understand these two verses and how these two verses actually make God the king. Now, in this verse, Shema Israel, the first one, here, Israel, there are six words. Shehem keneged ha-shisha midois, shenimnu bepasuk lecho avaya gedula vegeimer, kichol v'shemayim v'aretz. He doesn't quote the whole thing. These six words of Shema Israel, they are like corresponding to six midois, attributes, qualities, that are actually also mentioned in a different verse. This verse is in Divrei Hayomim, Chronicles. It says over there, Chronicles 1, the chapter 29, I'm sorry, I don't see anything, and the verse 11. Okay, what does it say? Lecho Hashem Gedula, the words that the Rebbe quotes is, yours, God, is the greatness. Goimer means etc. And then he brings the end. Because everything in the heavens and the earth. Point. But if you look at the verse, actually we say it every day in prayers. It brings all six ideas that I think it's known already, but just in case, if anybody listens and doesn't understand, we're not talking about parts of God. We're talking about expressions. And this is something so pashut, so simple. People actually stumble on this and make great, big, big mistakes. So simple. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a friend. Whatever. I have all kinds of functions, so to speak. But I'm just one person. And it's not that a part of me is a father. A part of me is a husband. I'm me, and that's it, no more. I express myself in different ways, in different situations, okay, that's fine, but it's just me, just one person. Same thing happens with God. He's just one. No divisions, no parts, no nothing. He expresses, because he chose to do so, he expresses himself, in the particular case of our discourse, in six ways. There are more, okay, it's true, but in this discourse, we're talking about this, six ideas. That's Shema Yisrael, six expressions of God. God as kind, God as severe, God, whatever, all kinds of expressions of God. And Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Elelam Boed, the second phrase we say in the Shema, Ukeneged Mashekosuv Lecho Hashem Mamlacha. All of that phrase represents just one expression of God, which is called Malchus, whatever that means, doesn't matter really, but means the kingship of God. So we have, what do we have over here right now? The Rebbe is like going deeper and deeper to reach a point. What do we have over here? We have one verse, Shema Israel, it represents six expressions of God. God showing himself, because he chose though, in six ways, fine. And then we have another phrase, that represents God showing himself in one particular way, Malchus. He's a king. That's why it says, Malchusoi Leilam Voed. Blessed be the glory, whatever, of his kingship. Oh, this means kingship. Okay. Umize muvan, from this we can understand, She'inyan Shema Israel, Ubaruch Shem Kevod Malchusoi Leilam Voed. That's the idea of these two verses, whatever, phrases, is the same thing as this verse in Chronicles. Yours, God, is the greatness, etc., etc. Why? Very simple. If you don't know the verse, it's very difficult to see it over here in the discourse. But again, since we actually say this verse every single day, so basically everybody knows the verse, not the what comes before and after, but this particular verse everybody knows. So the verse actually says, לכו השם הגדולה והגבורה והתפארת והנצח והיהוד, כי כל והשמיים והארץ, לכו השם הממלכה והמסנסה לכל הראש. So, I'm not going to translate the whole thing, but the point is that the Rebbe is taking one complete verse Again, it's in Chronicles 1:29-11, and the Rebbe cut, not in the middle, cut one part of the verse, represents six ideas, Shema Yisrael. And the second part of the verse represents one idea, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Anavoyed, kingship. This is what the Rebbe just did. He cut this verse in two parts. With this, where is the Rebbe going? The Rebbe wants to explain this verse. So how did the Rebbe introduce, so to speak, himself into this? Because, again, there's a quote over there in the Zohar. See, the note number 12 says, look at the Zohar in that place. So the Zohar is the one that connects Shema Yisrael with this verse in Chronicles. That's the Zohar. So once a Rebbe or a text, whatever, brings a proof from a book that is completely undiscussed and completely, nobody argues with this book. Could be the Talmud, could be a commentary on the Talmud, Rashi, could be Tosfos, whatever, could be the Zohar. Once you bring a proof from such a book, that's it. There's a connection. If you know the connection, you understand it, fine. If you don't understand, that's your problem. But they are connected because the book says so. That's it. Like, it's enough with this proof, so to speak. So the Rebbe, again, brought the Zohar. The Zohar brings a connection. And now the Rebbe is going to start explaining that thing which is connected to Shema Yisrael. Why? Because I want to understand Shema Yisrael. Why? Because I want to understand Uforasta. That's the truth. In order to understand Uforasta, you have to understand Shema. In order to understand Shema, you have to understand Lecho Hashem HaGedul, etc. Okay, so let's explain Lecho Hashem HaGedul. והעניין בזה, the idea is like this. והנה עניין הגדולה הוא כמו שקוצב גודל השם ומהול על מאוד בעיר אלוקים. What's the greatness of God? What does that mean, the greatness of God? But let's bring another verse from Tehillim, from the Psalms. גודל השם ומהול על מאוד, great is God and very praised, בעיר אלוקינו, in the city of our God, our Lord, whatever. That's what the verse says. So God is great. Where do you see that God is great? Go to Yerushalayim. And you will see God is great. Be'ir Elokeinu, the city of our God. That is talking about Yerushalayim. Okay. Ve'amru Razal, our sages say on this verse, Eimasayu Godel, how do you see, how do you say that God is great? When? Not how, when. That's a proper translation. When do you say that God is great? Yeshu Be'ir Elokeinu. When he is in the city of our Lord. This is what the sages say. Still difficult to understand. What does that mean? God is great when he's in the city. What's the city? What are you talking about? So the Rebbe explains. That's Musa's Barach. Are love mikol ilen midas yuklal. This is such a great line. It's combining the Zohar, Hasidus, whatever. If you look at things from the perspective of the essence of God, do you want to define, so to speak, God? Forget it. You can't. Impossible. Harei, and this is the Zohar, says this, love mikol ilen midas iukla. Translation, simple translation, even though it sounds strange. It's not because I don't speak English so well, I know that, but the verse is strange. Love mikol ilen midas, not from all these qualities, Ihuklal, he at all. I know it makes no sense, but the idea is like this. You can't say anything about God. There's nothing you can say about him. He's great, forget it. What do you mean great? Not great. He's infinite. He's severe. What do you mean severe? He's good. There's nothing you can say about God. In other words, everything that appears in Kabbalah and Hasidus, whatever, about the qualities of God, even in the Torah, the greatness of God, his strong arm, really? God is strong? What does that mean? He's infinite, not strong. Like, no definition we can understand in our human world and lives actually applies to God. Nothing. This is what the Zohar is saying. And that's why the Rebbe begins the phrase, so to speak, Mitzadat Smusoy is back. From the perspective of his essence, there's nothing you can say about God. There's a story At least it's going to help us. It's like a cute story, but it's going to help us to understand in a very, very simple way what the Zohar is saying. But actually, this applies to the whole Kabbalah. The whole everything just goes through this story. The story is the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad. He was called the Alter Rebbe because even when he was young, he was like an old person, like very mature, etc., etc. But at some point of life, of course, he was older, and he had to actually raise one of his grandchildren, the Tzemach Tzedek, who was afterwards the third Rebbe of Chabad. And there are many stories of the Tzemach Tzedek, this actually after Rebbe, he was a Rebbe afterwards, but he was a boy, small boy, child, with his grandfather, who was already the Alter Rebbe, already a huge and great person, and he had to take care of his grandchild. For whatever reason, now is not the moment to talk about the story, it's a long story. Sad and long story. But whatever. And at some point, the Tzemach Tzedek, this small child, was sitting in the lap of the Alter Rebbe. And they were playing, like talking, grandfather and grandchild. Where is Zeide? Where's the grandfather? So the child took the beard of the Alter Rebbe. Touched it like this. And the Alter Rebbe said, no. That's the beard of Zeide, of the grandfather. That's not the grandfather. Where's the grandfather? So whatever, he touched the nose. No. That's the nose. That's not me. That's the nose. And like this, going back and forth a few times. And in the Tzemach Tzedek, the child got tired. You know, this Zayde is really making my life impossible. So he just left the lap of his grandfather and walked away a little bit. And then he turned and said, Zayde! He called Zayde. And the Rebbe said, yes. Doi Zayde. That's where you are. That's you. Like the whole thing of you, that's you. Not your beard, not your nose, not your eyes, not your ears, whatever. That's you. Yes, I got you. I got you. So what does the story mean in our context? The story means there's nothing you can say to define a person. What do you mean? That's my beard. That's me as a teacher. That's me as a husband. That's me as a father. That's not me. So there's nothing you can say actually about anybody. It's just me. And of course, nothing you can say about God. It's Him. It's God. And the whole thing of the greatness of God. Okay, we want to say that God is great, big, powerful, great, whatever. That's just when you quote and quote. It's not in the Maimer. I add this quote. He is in the city of our Lord. What does that mean? Then you can say that God is great. What does that mean? This refers to the world of words. When you start talking, oh, then you can say God is great. Because that's, after all, just a word. Just a definition of something. But he's going to explain it in a more deeper way. This is like the very, very simple explanation. Let's go deeper. The Keshem She'ir Nasiz Miribui Batim Ubais Nasiz Miribui Avanim, just as a city is built with a lots of houses. That's what a city means, lots of houses. And one house is built with lots of stones. Avanim, Kemoiken, the same thing. This is Sefer Yetzira, the book of formation, whatever. The same thing, Shtei Oisio is Voinis, Shnei Batim. Two letters, the letters are like stones. Two letters build two houses, quote unquote, houses. What does that mean? If you have the two first letters of Hebrew, Aleph and Beis, you can put it either Aleph and then Beis, or Beis and then Aleph. No more options, because it's just two. And so Aleph and Beis is Av. That means father. One word. Beis, Aleph means Ba, came, or coming, whatever, how you say it. But the point is that with two letters, you can make two words. That means with two stones, quote unquote, you can build two houses, quote unquote. The houses are the words, and the stones are the letters. He's not quoting the whole thing, because it's a long thing. Sefer Yetzirah says, to the point that the mouth cannot talk anymore. Like, you can make up so many words. If you have many, many letters, like 22 letters of the Hebrew, you can actually make, I don't know, an enormous amount of words. I'm not mathematics. I am not a mathematician, whatever. You can make so many words. Vezehu gadol havayeh. This is what it means, that God is great. Ve'yirelekeinu, just in the city. Now the word city took a completely different idea, definition. The word city here means a bunch of houses which are made with a bunch of stones, words, words and words. When can you say that God is great? When you have words to define it, to define him. In the words of the Rebbe, she'isavu sa'oilamois, mivichinas gedulosa isbarach, yal yedei oises adibur. This means that the creation of the whole, all the worlds, spiritual and physical world, from the greatness, that means, this is the whole thing in Kabbalah, Hasidus, greatness is, means actually kindness. But in this Maimonides greatness, it talks about the chesed, the kindness of God. The whole creation of the kindness of God, of Gdulasa, his greatness, is through the letters of the words, of talking, speech. Like the Torah says, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, God said it should be the light, and God said this and that. Ir Elokeinu, that's what it represents, the city of our Lord. The words that God uses to create the whole world, that's the city of our Lord. Because it's known, I'm adding this word, but it's easier to understand, the creation of the worlds comes from the emotional attributes of God. This is explained in many, many places, in Hasid, in Kabbalah, etc. The Rebbe brings one proof. As it's written, Zechore rachamecho, Hashem, v'chasadecho, ki me'olam heima. We say, this is in Tehillim, in Psalms 25. Remember your misericordia, how do you say? Not kindness. Rachmim is, it's in, I forgot the word in English. Rachmim means mercy. Oh, remember your mercy, Hashem, and your kindness, because they are eternal. Me'olam heima means, simple translation, eternal. However, the Rebbe is using here a deeper explanation. Me'oila means the world. What's the world built on? The mercy and kindness of God. That means emotional attributes. Mercy and kindness are emotional attributes. That means that the whole world is built upon or on top, so to speak, or by the emotions of God, quote unquote, expressions of God. And the way the emotions, this is like psychology, the way the emotions are revealed is through many letters. Many letters. And you have to actually talk. Like, suppose you come back from work and you meet your wife, your husband, whatever, and just say, hello. And you just disappear. Did you express love? Kindness, you didn't express anything, you just said hello. That's it. You want to express something and say, hello, my dear, how are you? Today, my day was like this and like that. Oh, I bought you a flower also. You have to talk, you have to say things. That's how emotions are aroused within yourself and also within the other person, not just yourself. So the proof is over here again, emotions are like revealed through many, many letters and words. Yal derech ma, shal derebe continues with an example. Ba'adam shekasher roitz legal es haseichel lo yahergesh amidus lezulot. So when a person wants to reveal his mind, his ideas, or his feelings to somebody else, areize al yedei ribuy oiseis adibur. This is through many letters, many words. You have to talk. Yal derech seyuvan lemaila. The same thing you can understand up. So to speak, above, by God. Shegilu midoy savit barach, wali deribu yoises adibur. The revelation of his emotional attributes is through lots of letters of speech. Ve'u'inyan ribu yoises v'tzirufeyim v'chilufeyim v'tumureiseyim. This is taken from actually Sha'arich of Emunah, the second part of Tanya. This is through lots of letters, they're interchanged, their change of order or whatever, their changes, etc., etc. Shali deizen isavu ribuyan ibrahim. Through this, were created many, many different kinds of creatures. Like if you see in the Torah, in the first parsha, when it talks about the creation, it doesn't say all the creatures that are actually available in the world. It doesn't say dog, it doesn't say cat, it doesn't say train, no such words. Just as a very, very few words about the light and the sun and whatever. Very few words. However, we have many, many more creations than just the words that are found in the text of the creation. So how come other creations are actually created from those words, from those letters? Because they change, interchange, etc., etc. And because specifically through the city of our Lord, quote unquote, then you get the greatness of God. Why? Parenthesis, this is not in the Maimar, but I suppose that Rebbe assumes we understand this already. The idea is like this. Look at the world, very simple. Like, look at the world around yourself and see there are many kinds of stones and minerals, there are many kinds of plants, vegetables, animals, human beings. And the more you actually contemplate the world around you, the more you're going to understand the greatness of God, that He created such a big world, such an incredible amount of creatures with incredible amount of characteristics, each one of them, etc., etc. So the more you think about the world, the more you understand the greatness of God. Aval mitzad atzmusoi, all of this is midos, emotional attributes. However, from the perspective of His essence, are in love, again, He repeats the Zohar, love mikolil midos yuklal. He, God, doesn't have anything you can say about Him. There's no attribute to Him. Ukomo shekosuv, and this is actually a verse. It's not a Kabbalistic thing. Forget it. It's a verse. His greatness is unmeasurable. It's impossible to think about His greatness. Even what we call His greatness, that's not actually His greatness. Actually, the Talmud says, the Rebbe doesn't bring it in this discourse, but the Talmud says, B'makom she'ata moitze gedulosei, sham ata moitze besanusa. The Tanya brings it also. In the place where you find the greatness of God, there you find the humility of God. Because for us, what we call greatness of God, for Him is nothing. Makes no sense. Imagine you have a Nobel Prize thesis, whatever, and he comes to give a class to a number of great, incredible minds of physics, and he says, good morning. And everybody stands up and says, yes, great, incredible ideas. I just said, good morning. What do you mean? This is not an interesting idea. Anybody could say good morning. Why do you praise me for saying good morning? It's an insult. It's not a praise. So if we praise God because He created the world, wow, what a great world. Really? That's an insult. That's nothing to Him. Actually, our sages say that God created the whole world with just one letter. Imagine we're praising God because He said one letter. It's crazy. Okay, that's what it means, actually. This, again, kivan shedavka lidei ir elokeinu nase godel, aval mitzad atzmusoi, again, etc., ligdulosei in chet. His greatness, His true greatness, the way He understands it, for us it's impossible to understand. Nothing we can say about this. Hainu, that means, shegdulosei atzmisi be'ein aroich klal, gam legabe godel avaya mir elokeinu. His essential greatness is incomparably, like impossible to compare, even to the level of the greatness of God, because He is found in the city of our Lord. Impossible. His true greatness, it's impossible for us to understand. And therefore, in a midas gedulose shebeir elekeinu, ibevichinas bitul, viskalelus leatzmus. This is a very deep and an important phrase. The quality of His greatness, the way we understand it, because He is found in the city of our Lord, like He created the whole world, that's bitul, complete nullification and complete iskalelus, included in the essence of God. It's nothing to Him. is like for this great physician, whatever, Nobel Prize, etc., to say hello, good morning. That's nothing to him. Therefore, automatically, that's not something separated from him. It's just part of him. It's him. And the word part is not precise. It's wrong, actually. But whatever, just to try to use some kind of words, it's nothing in front of him. That's why it's written in the verse in Chronicles, yours, God, is the greatness. Yours means nothing compared to you. Whatever. That the quality of greatness, kindness of God, is completely secondary and completely nullified to you, to him, to God. Now, through us understanding the nullification and elevating his attribute of greatness, what does that mean? Through us coming to the realization that what we call his greatness is not actually his greatness, it's nothing. What did we do? Like, technically speaking, we elevated his greatness. Not that we changed anything on him. No, no, that's not what the Rebbe is saying. Not at all. We can't change God. What he's saying is, we ourselves, in our minds, went from what we thought was the greatness of God. Oh, he's the creator of the world. Very nice. Yeah, but that's nothing to him. So in our minds, we elevated what means actually the greatness of God. By us doing this work of going through one level of understanding, which is a very limited level of understanding related to the letters, to the words, to the world, to the creation, this we elevated to saying, wow, we don't understand the greatness of God. Azay ruach, hamshich ruach. Then what's going to happen? One, the literal translation is a phrase of also in the Zohar. Literal translation, very easy to misunderstand. One spirit projects another spirit. He's not talking about spirits, not at all. No demons, no spirits, nothing. Garnished. He's talking about my motivation automatically is going to generate motivation on the other side. In very simple words, even though it doesn't sound so nice, but it doesn't matter. If I smile to you, like it's going to be natural to you to smile to me. It works. And it's actually a verse. Just like the water reflects the face of a person, like a mirror, the same way the heart of one person reflects the heart of another person. This is what it's saying over here. That project, what does that mean? By us raising up the greatness of God, as we explained before, this makes a God to project, he gives us a reflection of his essence to shine into the greatness the way we understand it. It's a deep part of the Maimon. This is a second explanation of yours, God, is the greatness. What does that mean? That there's a projection of the essence of God that has no definition. Remember the beginning of the Maimer, the discourse, projecting the infinite into the finite. That's what it means. That's the Kriyas Shema, that's the Mitzvah, as we're going to learn. Okay, so the Rebbe is reaching this idea. Exactly this idea. We're projecting from the essence of God, which is infinite, into something that is not infinite. How great is God? Okay, God created 2,000 and I don't know how many millions types of plants. Oh, he's really great. That's a limited thing. Okay, it's great. It's true. I didn't create any plant. And he created so many plants. But it's limited to the number of plants he created. So here the Rebbe is saying we're projecting from the infinite essence of God into the finite. And just as it works this way regarding the attribute of greatness, Kahu gam bemidas hagvura. Same thing happens with the severity of God. Same thing happens with Pyrus, Zumaton Toira, and the Tiferet, I'm sorry, Zumaton Toira, and also with the beauty of God, which refers to Toira, to the giving of the Toira, Tiferet, whatever, the connection is, doesn't matter right now. Veshiara Midois, and also all the rest of the attributes of God, when you take the world, understand it in one way, and then rise it up to say, this is not actually the truth, the way I understand it is not the truth, I mean, not God's truth, then what are you doing? You're projecting the infinite into the finite world. Ad lecho Hashem ha-mamlacha, midas ha-malchus. This includes the last of these seven emotional attributes, the one that is called malchus, kingship. Shebetchila nasis alas kol ha-midas. First of all, there has to be a raising up of all the attributes, midas ha-malchus, ad midas ha-gedula. From the lowest one, from kingship into the highest one, so to speak, the Gedula, the greatness of God, the kindness of God, to where do you elevate this? Le'atzmus Yitbarach, to his essence. Ve'achar kach, and then, nimshach teisefes ha'ar me'atzmus Yitbarach, le'atzmus ha'gedula, ad le'bichnis ha'memlach. There's a projection of an additional reflection of his essence into the greatness of God, etc., until the last of these emotional qualities, which is called kingship. So we saw this going up and down, that actually happens within our minds. No like mystical and weird magician and magics and forget it. Stop, think about God. Stop your life and start thinking about God. This generates a complete different understanding of the whole world. Up to one point we say God is Borei Olam. He's the creator of the world. Very nice. Yeah, that's nothing. Forget it. That's not a praise.